When you think of Jesus, I hope and I pray that you think of food. I do. And water. I pray you think of eating and washing, of dining at the table with the Lord and dabbing dry the moisture on your skin. This is what Jesus is all about. Scripture being entirely about Jesus from cover to cover. Every last page, every last word, every last jot and tittle, that would be the I, dot, and a little cross of the T kind of a thing. All of it is about how Jesus canceled your debt. How he forgave you, gave you grace through particular means. Namely, through his word and his sacraments. Through food, which you eat at the Lord's table, and water, in which you've been washed in baptism. These are how you're shown the love and mercy, the grace of God that's been poured out for you on the cross of Jesus Christ. In these simple acts, you are loved much. These are how forgiveness is given to you, how God cancels your debt. Canceling debt. In our gospel reading, Jesus teaches something very valuable to us as he taught it to Simon the Pharisee. And I would ask that you notice, pay attention to the similarities in the setting. Your setting here today and the one at the table with Simon the Pharisee. See, Jesus teaches today's lesson amidst the ambiance of food at a table, as is our setting this morning, in the moments before we partake of the Lord's Supper. He teaches the lesson as washing with water is on the forefront of his hearers' minds, where there's tears, wiping, washing, intimate interaction, and anointing, the same things present in baptism. He teaches today's lesson in a room full of pride and humility, in a room full of righteousness and sin, a room like we find ourselves in right now, in a setting that draws our minds to the sacraments, full of food and water. In that setting, Jesus speaks about canceling debt. A certain moneylender, he says, had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, if you have your own Bible with you this morning, you might want to make a little note about the word canceled. I'd say it's easier to understand Jesus' point if we translate that word as it's meant to be read in the Greek. And that would be freely forgave or gave grace. Canceled works, but it kind of sterilizes the text. It detaches it a little bit in our minds from where Christ is going with his teaching, the point he's trying to make. When they could not pay, he freely forgave the debt of both. He gave grace to both debtors. Now, which of them will love him more, he asks. And Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled, freely forgave the larger debt. Makes sense, right? There's more grace to be shown to the person with the larger debt. So the person would respond with greater love toward the moneylender. Yeah? Yeah. Jesus says so. You have judged rightly, he says. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, the Pharisee, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. But from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Jesus freely forgives the woman of her sins. He gives her grace. Yes, he cancels her debt. But how? How does he do that? It's the same exact way that he freely forgives the Pharisees' debt as well. See, she's the one with much debt to be forgiven, and he the one with little. She's the one who responds with much love toward Jesus, he with little. How's her sin forgiven? Well, the moneylender just canceled the debt, right? Just canceled it. What world do you live in? What moneylender do you know of who just cancels debt? As if he just says, I'll just pretend you don't owe me any more money. Is that how the world works? Who just pretends debts don't exist? Even when bills aren't paid, the entity that is owed, when he writes it off, isn't just pretending it's not there. No, he's doing that for a particular reason. The debt is still there. He just is not counting it as an asset on his books anymore. He says, well, that debtor isn't good for it, and so I'm not going to count that as income. It's still there. The debt is still owed. Right? Get that? When you borrow money, you're expected to pay it back. You or someone on your behalf. Somehow, some way, by someone, the money needs to get back to where it came from. It needs to get back to the lender. And the same is true for your sins. The woman, the Pharisee, you, me, the world, we're all freely forgiven of our sins. God's given all of us grace. He's canceled all of our debts. In the sense that we don't have to pay it back. Why? Does he just pretend it isn't there? That we haven't sinned? Is he just looking the other way, not wanting to recognize the sin in the room? Is he sweeping it under the rug, so to speak? Has he just decided to live with the mound under the carpet as he steps over it? Because he loves you so much? Does he close his eyes and say, no worries, it's all good? No. No, that's not how your God works. It's forgiven. It's graced. It's canceled because someone paid it. It has been paid back. That's the better way to see this. That's the right way to see it. Jesus paid back your debt. It was owed. It was freely forgiven when Christ died on the cross. He paid your debt with his blood. See, that's the debt we owe, death. We've broken the law, and the penalty for that is death. That's the payment required under God's good and holy law. And it was taken out of Christ's hide so that it wouldn't be taken out of your hide. When God forgives you of your sins, he doesn't just look the other way. No. He's not pretending they're just not there. He knows they're there. And he sees the blood that's paid for them. He sees Christ Jesus. Each time you sin, forgiveness is given by the blood of your Savior that covers that cost that you owe. That is wonderful news. It has been paid back. The register has been rung up, right? Cha-ching! It's in the bank. It's golden there for you. There is a statement. It's coming in the mail, okay? Look for it. Those who are aware of this, who see just how sinful they are under the law, they do love much. They respond with great love. They're humble. They drop to their knees at the feet of Jesus, weeping and wiping, pouring out their thanksgiving to the Lord. I love this picture of this woman. It's such a beautiful picture of baptism. In baptism, we who are filthy sinners, the dirty ones, are made clean, while Jesus, the only one who is clean, without filth, takes our sins, our dirt on himself. When he was baptized in the Jordan, when he stepped into those waters, he was perfectly clean. And when he stepped out of those waters, he was covered in your dirt, your grime, your sins. They're on his shoulders. They're dripping from his flesh. The sins of all humanity. In baptism, your sins are washed off of you. And they're applied to that which scrubbed you clean. They're on Jesus now. And this humble woman, she comes into this house. And she's returning the love of Christ in an effort to wash off the filth he was willing to take on himself. She's washing his feet. The physical dirt there, she sees it. The dirt of the earth. It's coming off of her Savior's body and onto her hands, onto her lips as she kisses him, onto her hair as she uses it to dab dry what she has just washed. Her hair, her glory, as 1 Corinthians 11:15 says it is. She's using her glory to love her Lord because she knows what he's done for her by taking on flesh and coming into this filthy, sinful world to die for her. This is a picture of worship. She's worshiping him. In worship, we say back to God what he has first said to us, right? That's what happens. He speaks to us, we say back what he has already said. That's what's happening here. She's doing back to Christ what he's done to her. He washed her and made her clean by becoming dirty himself in baptism, removing her sin by taking it on himself. And now she's doing back to him exactly what he's done to her in a symbolic way. She's scrubbing him clean, longing to take back her sins, longing to take back the reason he had to die. That's called repentance. She sees the consequences of her sin on his feet. And she wants to take back her sins. She doesn't want her Lord to have to die. That's beautiful. Think about it in terms of the Eucharist, Lord's Supper. As she comes into the house where Jesus is present at the table, present for sinners to dine and grow in the faith. The reason for the meal, the reason he died, or will go on to die, as the story is in history, is right there before her eyes. Right? What do we say? We recall Jesus' words. He says, in remembrance of me, right? That's why we do this, in remembrance of him. She longs to take away the reason he's dirty. In remembrance of him. In remembrance of his crucifixion, his death. She wants to scrub his feet clean. She weeps. Would that she could undo the cause of her God having to get dirty. Having to be covered in sin. If only she could take back her sins. Her clean and holy, perfectly innocent Savior has dirt on his feet. And that calls to mind the dirt of our sins that he took upon himself to make us clean. He's dirty because of her, and she knows it. Because she is a great sinner. He took on her sins, and so she's compelled by the gospel in love and thanksgiving to glorify her Lord in worship. She's repentant. And so she kneels before her Lord in faith in the most picture-perfect posture of thanksgiving. Are you a sinner who has sinned much or sinned little? Do you owe much or do you owe little? Have you been forgiven much or have you been forgiven a little? God's love shows us how much he thinks of us, how much he cares for us. Just as God's law shows us how much we're sinners. And the more we grow in our faith, the more we study Scripture, hear God's word, the more we learn that we are indeed great sinners, we learn just how much he loves us. We start off thinking we're not that bad. I'm a pretty good guy. I go to church on Sunday. I don't beat my kids. Isn't that what y'all think? That's the definition of good, right? Not beating my children. But then end up, I'm kidding, I wouldn't beat you guys. But then end up realizing my whole being is filthy. Apart from Christ, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. I'm wretched. The more I learn about God's law, the more I see how much I sin. There's no good in me at all. Nothing. And that prompts us to love much, to give thanks for all that we've received, the blessing, the grace, the forgiveness, to repent of our sins and humble ourselves before a loving and merciful God in faith, because he has freely forgiven our debts. He's not just pretending they're not there. He's already collected the payment from someone else. Do you love much? As we heard from the book of Galatians this morning, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. This woman is not loving much because of how much she's doing for Jesus at this moment. That's not what's happening. She's justified by his love and responding to it. And so I ask you again, do you love much? Because guess what? You've been forgiven much. You have. You've been forgiven very, very much. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.